Praise the Lord. Good morning. Let's open our Bible to the book of Psalms, Psalm 121, and let's read together. Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. Amen. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Let's pray. Based on what we have read, let's pray. Let's come to God. In the name of Jesus, the maker of heaven and earth, we thank the Lord. Let's give him thanks now. We praise you, God. You are a great Lord. We thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness unto us. We thank you for the life you give us, the eternal life that we received through the blood of Jesus on the cross that shed for our sins. We thank you, Lord, for the life and life to the full that we are enjoying, the Holy Spirit and the joy that we have in fellowshipping with you. We thank you, Lord, for your word and your promise in the Bible. We thank you, Lord, for the Rhema word that always you send us to help us in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the assurance of salvation. We thank you, Lord, for the assurance of forgiveness as we repent and confess our sins and renounce them. And coming back to you, you are accepting us. We thank you, God, for the ministry that you entrust to us. Thank you, Lord, for you had called us to save you. We thank you for you consider us faithful to do the ministry. Oh God, we are grateful to all your grace and favor that we receive from you and from men. We thank you for the daily provision. We thank you for the good health. We thank you for the peace and joy that you always visit us with and supply us. Oh God, we magnify your name. And here today we come to worship you and to save you and to reaffirm our commitment once again that we will live our life, the righteous life that you call us to live, so that your name will be glorified. Let's now confess to the Lord our sin, our shortcoming. Let us repent and renounce them so that nothing will hinder us from coming into the most holy place and to be in God's presence. Thank you, Lord. Let's confess our sin. Confess your sins one by one, whether by thought or by deed. The sins of knowing you know what you need to do and you don't do it. And the sin of knowing that you need to stop doing such things and you're still doing them. Renounce all these things and commit yourself to the Lord and He will receive you. Let nothing hinder you from coming to God. Yes, O Lord. Continue to inspire us, convict us with the Holy Spirit, that we renounce our sins in full. Now ask Him what you need. Let's come to the Lord and ask Him what we need. Our needs only can be satisfied by the Lord. Our help coming only from the Lord. Our promotion will come only from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. He is watching us. He will not sleep nor slumber. He will watch us now and forevermore. He will watch our going out and our coming in. Pray for all your needs. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I am assured that you will satisfy all my needs. According to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus our Lord. Satisfy the needs of my brothers and my sisters, Lord. Those who have need of visa, those who need job, provision, income. God, I trust you that you will provide. You will, O Lord. We thank you for you are faithful and you are true. Yes, O God. I pray also, O God, your protection upon your saints, those who fear you, protect them, O God. Let's pray for one another. Pray for your family and your loved one. Yes, O God. Pray for your wives, your husbands, your children, your parents, whatever needs in the family, and those near to you, pray for their needs. Pray for one another. Thank you, God. We bless you, Jesus. Answer our prayers. Heal the sick, provide the needy, provide food, protect from sicknesses, protect from coronavirus, those who are faithful to you, O God. Protect their lives in the name of Jesus. Let's pray now for our brothers and sisters who are in need of anything you are aware of, pray for them. They may have spiritual needs, material needs. Pray for them. God calls us to pray for one another. Carry each other's burden. Yes, O God, we pray for them. Thank you, Lord. We know, Lord, that you answer our prayers. We bless you, Master. We bless you, Redeemer. Heal us, guide us, provide for us, Lord. Provide for my brothers and my sisters, O God. Provide for them. Heal the sick among them, O God, in the name of Jesus. Give wisdom to those who lack it and give solutions for their problem. Inspire them how to solve their problem in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Redeemer. We bless your holy name. Let's pray for our countries and nations and cities that we came from. Let's pray that God will bring his salvation there. Let's commit ourselves that we'll be the instrument for that. Let's pray for peace in these areas that we came from so that God's word will be preached and people get saved. Hear our prayer, O God. Hear our cry for mercy, Lord. Salvation, O God, for my nation. Salvation, Lord, for my country. Visit my country, Lord, with your word. I commit myself, O God, to bring the gospel of yours to them in the name of Jesus. Bless all my efforts. to bring your word to my people so they will know you and get saved. Pray now for this place, for this land that God had brought us here in UAE, and also in whatever place you are in now and you hear the message and you are with us, one, pray for the place, the nation that God had brought you, the city, that it will prosper, so you and the church and we will prosper too. We pray for the rulers to be saved, to know you. We pray for the fear of God upon them, to take right decision. We pray, O Lord, that we'll have favor from you. O God, your church will have favor from authorities, that we'll be protected and we'll be living in peace to preach your word to them. O God, we pray, we commit ourselves to preach the gospel to our neighbors, to our friends, to those whom you had put around us. We commit ourselves to show them who Christ is in the name of Jesus. Help us, O God, to continue to evangelize and to preach your word to the nations, to the place that you had brought us to settle. Give us favor, Lord, from you and from men, from the government, so that we live in peace. And Lord, we pray, let's pray for the church. We pray for the church to grow. Even this time, I pray for the protection of all the workers and members and committed people who have committed their life to serve you. Protect them from the evil one. Protect them from the sickness of corona. In the name of Jesus, we apply the blood of Jesus upon each and every one of us, O Lord, and our brothers and sisters who are saving you in this church, and our brothers and sisters who are in other churches, those who are saints of yours, those who fear you, protect them, O God, from this coronavirus. In the name of Jesus, I pray also, God, that once again, fill us, Lord, with the Holy Ghost, O God, to continue to serve you, to continue, Lord, to do the work of yours. We commit ourselves. We commit ourselves, Lord, to evangelize. Raise up your hand to the Lord. Tell him, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. To come, O God, upon me so that I will move forward to serve you and move forward to preach your word and to make disciples. O God, we commit ourselves to make disciples, to baptize those who believe and get disciples, and to commit ourselves that you will teach them everything you have commanded us. We pray, O God, that you anoint the worship, anoint the service today. Let your name be glorified. Let your name be lifted up in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, God. Anoint our worship, anoint the prayers, anoint the message, and let your word bring you glory and honor. Oh God, I pray for healing today in our midst, and everywhere the service will move on. I pray for the connections, I pray for the internet, all will be working for your glory. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's all stand worshiping the Lord and serving Him. He is our help. He is our support. He is our He is our comfort. He is our healer in times of need. Thank you. And you are the guidance for our life in the name of Jesus. Oh God, hear our prayer. Oh God, hear the cry of your children, those who are here and those who are in other places. Those who are longing for your presence, those who are appealing to you, O God, those who are in need, hear their prayers, hear our prayer. We are your children. And we gather here today to pray, to ask you, to plead with you, O God, hear our cry. We need your mercy, we need your grace in our life. Come to the Lord. He is here. He will hear our prayer. He will hear your cry.
Hear our prayer. We are your children and we gather here today. We gather here to pray.
us, O God. Forgive the sin of your people, O Lord. As they repent, O God. Forgive their sins, O God. And heal the land, O Lord. Heal, O God, the people, O God, as your church and your people repent. O God, heal. Heal, O God. Heal, Lord. O God, your eyes is on the sparrow. Your eyes on each and every one of us. Thank you, God. Thank you for the assurance that we have from you, O Lord.
Mercy and strength. You are.
presence, O God, to hear your word, to understand your will, and we come to ourselves, O God, to move forward, to do the very things that you want us to do. That you comfort us, that you assure us, that you have filled our hearts with joy and peace and assurance. Here we are, Lord. We are willing to hear your word, O God. We pray, O Lord, that you bless the rest of our worship and service to you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. As we are seated, time to bring our tithes and our offering and our first fruits unto the Lord. Let's open our Bible to the book of 2 Corinthians. God's word teaches us that the Lord loves the cheerful giver. Let's read book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And verse 7 and 8. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all the grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You understand here, as we commit ourselves to give to God, not by force, not grudgingly, but cheerfully, because God loves the cheerful giver. And he says here in verse 8, after we give, and God is able to make all the grace abound toward you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things. When we give to the Lord, we will receive all the grace of Him to be abound to us, to be bound. So we will lack no good things, and also that He will bless the works of our hand. Now it's up to us. Now when we give to the Lord, we will be done to be blessed. When you withhold your tithes and offering and first fruit from bringing it, you will be having stagnation in the grace and in the blessings of God. And those who had experience giving cheerfully, they also experience the love of God to them, because it says here, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So let's pray now. God, thank you for your words to us. Lord, thank you for my brothers and sisters who give to you cheerfully. Bless them and reward them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. As you promise in your word that you love the cheerful giver, I pray for those who give to you. Let, oh God, let your promise come true, that your grace will be abound to them, that they will have all sufficiency in all things. They'll be sufficient in all circumstances, in all situations, in the name of Jesus. We pray, O God, that also you bless the work of their hands and prosper them. And I pray for those who are still stubborn, I pray, O God, that you change their hearts and speak to them and convince them and show them their shortcomings so they will repent and come back to you and be willing to give what is due for you and to honor you. O Lord, I pray you use this amount of money, let your grace upon it, use it for your glory. I pray for wisdom and anointing and discernment on those who are going to use this money. O Lord, I pray they will spend it on what is needful, O God. And I pray, Lord, rebuke the devourer, rebuke pestilence, rebuke unnecessary expenses, O God, and unnecessary payment. O God, we pray, O Lord, as we obey you, O God, your grace would be abound and all needs would be satisfied and will be sufficient. We thank you, God, and we bless you. I pray for those who are giving their tithes and offering and first fruits in full. I pray keep their jobs, keep their salaries, keep their incomes, and let be, O God, more blessings in their life. I pray for my brothers and sisters who have no jobs. Provide for them also, Lord, and give to them what is, and give to them what they need, so they will give to you what is due for you. We thank you, God. We bless you. We magnify you. We adore you. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open our Bible to the book of Luke. We'll continue today to speak about how to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And we read in the book of Luke, chapter 11, how our Lord recommend the righteous men, Abel and also Zechariah. And we continue today to speak about Zechariah. You know, many people, they say, pastors speak from the Old Testament. Now, this is Jesus. If he will not say it, I will not bring this man to the surface. But he say it. Book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 47 to 51. When he was speaking to the Pharisees, and in the body of Christ now there are many Pharisees, and that the message is also for them. He say, woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and their fathers killed them. Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed kill them, and ye build their sepulchres. Therefore also saith the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation. From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. He continues to speak today about how to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Zechariah was a righteous man. And let's read what this man did and what I need to do, what the church need to do. Let us go to the scriptures and learn from the scriptures. In the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 24, it narrates to us his death. And what are the reasons for people to put him to death? 2 Chronicles chapter 24. And we have read that. We have just read again. Read from verse 15. Zechariah was the son of Jehoiada. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days, where he died. And 130 years old was he when he died. And they bury him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. Now after the death of Jehoiada, came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groups and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testify against them, but they would not give ear. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, Thus saith God, Why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper, because ye have forsaken the Lord? He hath also forsaken you. And they conspire against him and stone him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the Lord. Thus Joash the king, remember not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, The Lord look upon it and require it. And it came to pass at the end of the year that the host of Syria came up against him, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people, and send all the spoil of them unto the king of Damascus. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. God, anoint my lips and put word to preach your message to your people that they need to hear. And take it, Lord, beyond the walls here to bring it to the people who need to hear this word of yours. I pray that the fear of God will be upon your church and your people, and you will bring repentance to the people's life, that they will come back to you and do what is right and just. Oh God, let be fruit, let be repentance, let be salvation of souls, Let me be people to raise up and serve you. We thank you, God, and we bless you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You see here, there is from the word of Jesus in the book of Luke that we have read, Luke 11, you know, he say, it shall be required of this generation. The word required. The blood of those men and all them, the righteous men, will be required from this generation. When Zacharias, when they stone him and he died, when, before his death, he say the same things. He say that we have read it. He said that in verse 22, but slew his son, and when he died, he said, the Lord look upon it and require it. You see, the word that Zacharias say, Jesus say the same word. Now we need to understand that Jesus is not a person whom that he died for us, being God, that we abuse his grace. But what we do wrong against God and against his word and against his church and against the person who saved God and tell us the word of God, when we do wrong, God will require it. That is the scriptures. Now, what are the wrongs that they did, the people? We spoke that they have left the temple. We spoke about they have gone to the groves. They have gone to their idols. We expound that. I need to mention also, the people at that time, they were going to higher places. In the book of 2 Chronicles, what are the higher places? Well, I need to bring it here also. Because these are the things that make people get mad when you speak about high places. But these are very important things we need to speak. In 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and verse 5, we can read that King Asa had removed these high places. You see, also he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. The high places are collateral places for worship. At the time of Old Testament, they have already the temple of God. Central form of worship, whatever offering, tithes, first fruit, vows, they need to bring to the house of God, they need to bring to the temple. The priests there, they will check everything. The high places are not approved places for worship. Why do people go to the high places? Because in the high places there are certain priests who approve to the people what they want. Whatever their desires, whatever their plans, they will agree with the people. So when the people are approving the high places, they don't come to the temple because the priest will tell them, don't do this based on these scriptures. So the importance to remove the high places, because in the high places, people will bring also offering and vows and resources of money. That resources, it is not offered to God. They are wrong plans. And when we don't condemn the high places where the people are doing their own will, it means that we are allowing them to lose their resources. It's very important to teach our families, our wives, our husbands, our children, not to put resources on things not ordained by God. Because it will be lost. Not only that it will not come to the house of God, it will not be offered to God, but will also be waste and lost. Now, what are more things that the people sin at the time of Zacharias? It say here in verse 2 Chronicle, in verse 19, yet he sent the prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord. And they testified against them, but they would not give ear. God sent repeatedly messages to them through prophets. They go and tell them, don't do this, don't do this. This is where the teaching is, repeatedly. Don't do this, don't do that. The people, they don't give ear to them. Because they have their own plan, they have their own idols, they have their own groups and agenda and high places. They will not listen. And even today in the New Testament, when we teach, many they say, oh, I know the Word of God. And many they say, I have the Holy Spirit. You don't need to teach me. They know also that the Holy Spirit has given to the church pastors and teachers to teach the people. They agree about that. But the problem is, why they say don't teach me? Because the teaching is condemning the idols that they are worshipping, or they are building, or they are promoting, or they are pushing their life into it. We are the Church of God. We continue to give the message that people might hate. People might just don't like. People may hate us because of it. People may persecute us and hurt us and harm us because of the message. What we need to do, we continue to give the message that God wants us to speak. Why? Because that's what Jesus says, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Zacharias, when he says the message, he is aware that the people hate him because of what he's going to say. But did he bear it or no? He bear it. For whose sake? For the people's sake. Jesus, he crucified. Did he bear it or no? He bear it, and me and you, as the Church of God, we continue to tell the message, even if the people they don't like, even if the people hate us, even the people persecute us and in return harm us, we need to bear it, because that is the way that God wants us to live for Him, and that's the way to show that we are hunger and thirst for righteousness. What are the other sins that the people did and caused Zacharias to rebuke them and face them? They say in verse 17, they say, now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. You know, the people, they went to the authorities in order to strengthen their stand against the church and against the teaching and against the temple of God and against the Christ. They go to the king. And people nowadays, they will use whatever authorities so that they will stand against the teaching and condemn it, in order that they will justify themselves and do what they want. And that is, you know, it is double sin. You are against God and you are against the person who is teaching the Word of God. That's where here when Jesus says that all this will be required of this generation, he knows what he's speaking. The Pharisees, they are not only against God, they were also against Jesus, who was teaching the things that God wanted to speak. What they did more wrong. Expand here. Authorities, the non-believers, are used by the believers to silence the righteous person who is rebuking them. Further sin. What they did wrong against God and against His will and against the man of God. They had forsaken the Lord. The priest Zechariah, when he faced them, he told them, you had forsaken the Lord, therefore the Lord forsaken you. You know, those who left the temple of God because of their idols, they not only left the temple, they not only left the church, but they left also God to save their own idols. That is another sin. The church will continue, but that is sin. God will judge. And God will bring judgment. I'm fully convinced that what's going now on the world from coronavirus is the judgment of God. Not only on the nations and the governments who does not fear God, but also on the churches who does not fear the Lord. And the people of God who does not fear God. God is bringing His judgment in full. What they did more? They blaspheme the message of God that He sent to them through Zechariah. You know Zechariah in verse 20. You see, and the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, thus say God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord? That ye cannot prosper, because ye have forsaken the Lord, He hath also forsaken you. Now here, we understand that the message of God came to Zechariah through the Spirit, and the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah. So the message that He delivered them is the message of God. The people, when they hear the message, that message led them to put Zechariah to death. So they blaspheme God. They blaspheme the temple. They blaspheme the church of God when they put to death the person who rebuked them to their faces. You know, He told them, you transgress the commandments of the Lord. Face to face. You know, Zechariah stood above the people. I stand above the people. We stand above the people and to tell them the word of God. That's where the people, they hate such things. But that's what is required. You know what He say here? He say, which stood above the people. You know, they want to be, the people when they came against Him, they want to stand above Him. But He took His stand. He stood above the people. I take my stand and stand above the people to give them the word of God they hate. That is scriptures. I follow scriptures. When people hate the scriptures, does not mean that we will surrender. I understand. There's a message need to be delivered. That is for the people's benefit. That is for the mercy of God to fall on earth, when the word of God to be expounded well. Zechariah stood above the people and he faced him. You transgress the commands of God, and you have forsaken the Lord, And he told them, because you forsake the Lord, he will forsake you. And then he told them, you will not prosper. You know, that is a very aggressive message that people hate today. They will say, why you curse? That's not a curse. That is the truth. He was speaking the truth. Jesus did not say Zacharias was cursing the people. Jesus said he was the righteous man. The next sin, what they did? They put him to death. They stoned him. They slew him. You know, the last things that they want to silence the message, they put him to death. They think that when they put him to death, they will no more hear the message they hate. But that is not correct. Abel still now is preaching or no? He's preaching. Jesus still now is preaching or no? He's preaching. And even Zacharias, he's dead, but he's still preaching. The word of God will be continually preached against sin, and God will bring us to repentance, bring the whole earth into repentance if we are not willing to acknowledge the truth and say to the people what God the Holy Spirit wants us to say. Now, what more we can say about the sin that they did? You know, I want to speak about the sin of ungratefulness. You know, in verse 22, sin of ungratefulness. Thus Josh, the king, remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada, his father, had done to him, but slew his son, and when he died, he said, the Lord, look upon it and require. Hey, that is here, the last statement of Zacharias was the last rebuke for them from his mom. And Jesus get it and give it to the Pharisees. And today I'm getting it, the word of God, and give it to the Lord, to those, as the Holy Spirit led me to this message, to those who blaspheme the word of God. The sin of ungratefulness, Josh, he killed the son of his auntie. His father was taking care of him. He saved his life with his wife. But he did not show faithfulness to what he had received. You know, ungratefulness is sin. And the Bible says, he who pay evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. Now, why we need to emphasize on the message? Why we need to send it even we know the people hate the message? When Zechariah is about to die and he said that God will require it, was he looking for revenge from God on those people? Or he was looking for the mercy of God to come upon them? He was looking for the mercy of God, because that is the truth. Ungrateful people, if they will not repent, they will bring the judgment of God on them. And we need to tell it. Well, how about if the people does not like? Well, still I need to live in righteousness. That's how I hunger and thirst for righteousness. People should hear what God wants them to hear. Jesus and Zacharias, the time span between Jesus and Zacharias is, and this man Zacharias is 800 years. 800 years, the Lord had brought his story again. Maybe people not in their mind, but he brought it back to what they did. And he reminded the Pharisees. Their forefather did it. Their blood does also on you, because you are the same. Even the Holy Spirit is reminding us today. If you will do what they did, all the blood of those who slain because of righteousness will be on us. That's the scriptures. And we need to convey it, we need to expound it well to the people, so they will know what God is about to do. We need to be very careful not to cut it from the message, not to modify it. This is, I'm preaching from the New Testament, Jesus' word. In verse 23, it says, it came to pass at the end of the year that the host of the Syrians came up against him, against Joash, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people and sent all the spoil of them unto the king of Damascus. We need to proclaim the judgment of God on the wickedness and faithfulness to God. I'm speaking here, those people, they know God. They know the church. They know what is in the Bible. They know everything. But they have chosen to rebel against God in such utter wickedness. And today, as Zechariah announced, you will not prosper. I announced you will not prosper. You have forsaken the Lord, He will forsake you. Judgment is coming. He said, judgment is coming very rapid. He said, at the end of the year. God did not allow it to lapse 1 year. 1 year did not lapse. He brought that judgment. Judgment is coming rapid and quick. He told them, God will require it. And I am telling you, God will require it from you if you will not repent. What do you say here in verse 24? We need to announce it. We need to make it very clear. Why people now sin? Because they don't fear God. Let them know God now. Let them know God. That the judge, the creator of heaven and earth. Verse 24. They say, for the army of the Syrians came with a small company. Small problem, small army. Why they were not able to stand? Because they forsake God, God forsake them. Have you got the point here, how we forsake God? Idols, groups, high places, blaspheming the message of God, using all authorities and police and CIDs to silence the man of God who rebuke us. We had experience all in this church. Ungratefulness. All these things, the scriptures spoke about it. God's judgment will come. Small army, they were not able to stand. And the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand. Have you got the point here? Small army sent by God to discipline, God delivered a big army into their hand. We need to declare it. They have forsaken, you have forsaken the Lord forsaken you. This is the message, without delusion. 100% pure. Because they have forsaken the Lord, the God of their father, so they executed judgment against Joash. That is the judgment of God. They lost everything. And when they departed from him, for they left him in a great disease, his own servant conspired against him for the blood of the son of Jehoiada the priest and slew him on his bed. Have you get the point here? How God brought his judgment? Pass on him. Pass on them all. They took all their material things and possessions. Now you say that Jesus say, forgive. Yes, forgiveness is there. But the truth needs to be preached. In the book of Revelation chapter 6, And let's read the saints of God, what they were praying. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 9 to 11. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice. What was their cry? Saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? That is the prayer of the saints. That's their cry. And white robes were given unto every one of them. That's a robe of righteousness. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now here, the cry of the saints. You know, they were crying and they're asking, which time that dost thou not judge and avenge? They were asking about justice. Now the point here, forgiveness, one aspect of it, to forgive those who hurt, that is what God required, plus the justice of God should become true. Zacharias, he was longing that the justice of God will prevail, so everyone will know there is a God who is watching and doing. You say to them in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, he said to them, the Lord looked upon it and require it. Have you got the point here? That the Lord will look on it. See the prayer. That God look on you, on what you did. And require it. Did the Lord look upon it or no? Answer me. Yes or no? Open your mouth. Yes or no? Yes, he look upon it. How we know? Jesus mentioned his name. And he required it. And the same here. You know, when the Lord said to Cain in Genesis chapter 4, Genesis chapter 4 and verse 10, and he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. Have you get the point here? The voice of their brother, the voice of the blood is crying from the ground to God. The same in the book of Revelation. Is it New Testament or Old Testament? The book of Revelation is a New Testament. It's a New Testament. And they were asking that, O Lord, holy and true, that thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth. They are asking God justice. What we need to do now? Still we need to hunger and thirst for righteousness. We need to continue to give the message that God wants us to say to the people. How would the people hate it or hate us or blessing the message or continue to do evil? We need to hunger and thirst for righteousness. That is what Jesus recommends us from the scriptures that we are studying. Let's all stand. Let us stand. trusting Him that His eyes upon us. Zacharias prayed, may the Lord look upon it. God answered him. He looked upon it. And after 800 years, he told them, I was there. When they did it, I was there. I repelled them at that time. Now I am telling you, don't do the same. Thus, come to the Lord, trusting Him that He has called us for a purpose. We as the Church of God, we continue to preach the message that God wants, not the people. God will look upon all trespass, offenses against us, against His Church, against His name, against His Word, and He will require it. Come to the Lord now to repent. Come to the Lord to change your ways of life. Come to the Lord trusting Him. If you want to live for righteousness, He will take care of you. Even if you are persecuted, even people hate you, God is there beside you. Don't be afraid. Commit your life to Him. God, lead us, O God, to live in the glory of Your grace. O Lord, so strengthen us. We trust You, God, that Your Word is the truth, O God, and Your Spirit will lead us to do the very thing that You want us to do. O Lord, You have called us for a purpose, and I pray Your purpose shall prevail in the name of Jesus. You will reward us and You will deal with all oppositions and persecution, and you will allow your will to be prevailed in the name of Jesus. I pray for those who have committed their lives to you here and other places. Uphold them with your grace and shield them so that they continue to serve you. Oh God, take the message and make us to pray. Make it reach those who are in need of this word of yours. God bless us. Enlarge our territory, God, let your hand with us. And keep us, Lord, from harm, so that we not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us all, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Sing for joy to the Lord.
Amen.